We come before God. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you that it is authoritative, it's descriptive, it is everything that we need in life. And we thank you that we are able to read it and understand it, and it describes so much about who we are. And I pray for listening ears this morning as we sort of delve into this this question that we ask ourselves, who am I? And so we commit our time to you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, last week we began this this discussion, this dive into this question, who am I, by stating that people long to know who they are, why they exist, what their meaning of their lives is. And most people have a deep desire for purpose, but they're missing sort of their true meaning, because real meanings, real meaning for human can only be found in relationship with God, because humanity is made in his image and his likeness, and we have lost our connection to the Creator. And because we've lost that connection to the Creator, we have lost our frame of reference for understanding our identity. Because true identity is actually anchored in the knowledge that God has uniquely designed me. He knows me, he never leaves me, and he loves me. And it's identity is framed first and foremost by God's great passion for us. And last week we tackled the first key truth, that we are known by God. And today's truth is no less important to us to understand the fact that God has designed you. He's designed me. He's designed us. The Bible teaches that God made everything. You know, not only in the creation story, but we're also told in the book of Colossians, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Now think about that truth, the weight of that truth for just a moment. The ultimate designer, the wise creator, the master maker of galaxies, the God who imagined the oceans. He designed everything, everything that we can see, touch, smell, taste. He designed every one of us in this room and every person who comes to your mind right now. And when I pause, when I start thinking about this thing, there is actually an old song that comes to my mind. It was written by written by Brian Dirksen, and it's called Creation Calls. And to reminisce a little bit, I'd like to watch the video that goes along with that now.
Mighty tree. Thank you.
every time that I watch that video, it reminds me of Psalm 8. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet. Revelation 4:11 teaches us that God, the ultimate designer, is intentional. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Psalm 104 teaches us that he is wise and purposeful. How many are your works, Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. And all this to say that nothing exists outside of his control, his plans, or his ultimate purposes. And we ask the question, why does this matter? Why does this matter? Because every detail about us, about our friends, about our family, was determined by God and crafted by his hand. Your height, your eye color, the width of your shoulders, the color of your skin, the texture of your hair, the size of your feet, your smiles, the way you think, the way that you sound, the talents you have, your gender. Nobody is accidental. Nobody is accidental. God has designed each one of us individually. He created us. He formed us. And he knows us by name. Now you might be thinking to yourself, really? Has God designed me and designed me for something special in this world? Well, you know, there are numerous places in the Bible that confirm the answer to that question is a definite yes. In fact, in the Old Testament, we read in Psalm 33, from his dwelling place he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. Each one of us is special. You know, I have a tool chest at home that's filled with all sorts of tools. And, you probably have too. I'm sure the men have a toolbox of some kind in their home. And every tool that is in that toolbox is designed for a specific purpose. You might find a hammer, a screwdriver, a small tape, a tape measure, or even a level of some kind. And each tool has a specific purpose. And using them for something other than their specific purpose, the purpose that they've been designed for, usually ends in failure. I remember one time, the one tool that we sub out all the time is a hammer, right? We don't have a hammer, but we have to put a nail in the wall to hang a picture. And I had everything but a hammer, but I had a level in my hand. And the level didn't make it. The little glass thing in there broke. And, it resulted in failure. And that's the same thing with us. We've been created, designed, loved by God. He has done this amazing work in our life. But the same is true for us. We each have this unique purpose. Each one of us is a tool in God's toolbox. We've been designed in a specific way for a specific purpose. And we need to figure out what that purpose is. 1 Corinthians tells us this. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And what that tells me is our anthem should be something like this. I want Christ to live and work through me. Here I am, a special person, uniquely gifted by God, designed for a special purpose, and more specifically, to do the good works that God has created for me to do. That's what our anthem should be. And it's really important that we understand what each tool is designed to do, and then we use it the way that God has designed us. You know, even though we may think that our time, our talent, our treasure is small or insignificant, or we might say that we have nothing to offer, God can take you. He can take the person that feels that way and exponentially multiply that for the advancement of the kingdom. You know, I was trying to find the simplest story that I could find in the Bible that expresses this truth. And I think that it's often overlooked. We talk about it, but it's often overlooked. And it's about a small boy in the New Testament who gave his two small fish and five barley loaves, or five loaves of bread to Jesus. In John 6, 9 says, here's a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish, but how far will they go among so many? And the disciple Andrew, you know, he sort of questions how so little can be relevant when they're trying to figure out how they can feed a multitude. I think the first time was 5,000, the second time was 4,000 men, but with the women and children, it was probably closer to 10,000. But Jesus, he just took that little boy's offering, those fish and those that bread, and he miraculously used them to feed thousands of people. And the point of that is that no matter what kind of tool we are, how small and insignificant we may feel, we need to be available to God, because God can use our lives to do the miraculous. Each one of us needs to be a five loaves and two fish kind of person. You know, willing to share so that Jesus can do great things through us. And that happens when we sort of make ourselves available to him. And that little boy's life echoes through eternity, because he was willing to share what he had and to yield himself to the purposes of God. No matter what kind of tool we are, we need to be available to God, because God is our creator. He is the one that created us. He is the one that has given us life. He orchestrates all that we do, and he knows our future. He knows our past. He knows everything about us. And we need to cooperate with him on the journey. You know, in the passage that we read, it says all things have been created through him and for him. And this tells us that our very existence is tied to him. We're not created by chance. We're not a mistake, or we're not an afterthought. We were created intentionally and purposefully by Christ and for Christ. And this means that our lives have meaning and purpose, because we are created and designed by the one who is the epitome of purpose and meaning. And this truth can actually transform our lives, how we view our lives. You know, instead of seeing our lives as just this random series of events, we can see them now as part of a grand design, this beautiful tapestry woven together by the master weaver, where each thread, each color, each knot has purpose. Nothing is wasted. That's one of the things I love about that video, because it shows me that there's just so much more going on in this world than just the little sliver that I live in. There's an unimaginable beauty that our Creator made. It involves all the world that we can see, everything that we can't see. And he created us, and he placed us in this creation. And he looks at us, and we're the apple of his eye. We're the crown jewel of his creation. That's how much he loves us. Nothing is wasted. Nothing is meaningless. Everything has a purpose, and that purpose is found in Christ. But what does it mean to find our purpose in Christ. It means that our ultimate aim in life is to glorify Him and to make Him known. That's the ultimate purpose. It means that our lives are not about us. It's about Him. It means that we find our worth, our identity, our significance, not in what we do or what we have, but who we are in Christ. And that's a significant shift from the world's view of purpose. The world tells us that our purpose is found in our achievements, our possessions, our status. But the Bible tells us that our purpose is found in Christ. And our purpose is to make a name, is to not make a name for ourselves, but rather to make His name known. Our purpose is not to accumulate wealth, but to accumulate treasures in heaven. Our purpose is not to seek after our own glory, but to seek His glory. And this has some serious implications on how we ought to live our lives, because if our purpose is found in Christ, then our lives should be lived for Him. That means our decisions, our actions, our words, all need to be guided by His Word and the Spirit. And it means that we ought to please Him and seek to please Him in all that we do. It means that we should strive to become more and more like Him every day, which leads to the question, if I am known and I am designed by God, how can I live for Him? How can I fulfill our purpose in Him, or my purpose in Him? And the answer is found in the passage that we read. It said in verse 17, in Him all things hold together. This means that Christ is not only the source of our purpose, but He is actually the sustainer of our purpose. He gives us the strength, the wisdom, the grace that we need to fulfill our purpose in Him. So the first and foremost thing I believe we should all understand is that we have been designed by God, and each one of us is unique. We all have a different skill set. And a lot of us fail to even understand what that is and recognize, you know. But God has made us all for a particular purpose. Each and every one of us has something inside of us that God has put there before we were even born. He planned every day of our lives to serve this very purpose. Psalm 119 speaks to this truth. Your hands made me and formed me. Give me understanding to learn your commands. May those who fear you rejoice when they see me, for I have put my hope in your word. And so even though you share many things in common with other people, you basically are essentially one of a kind. It's amazing to me. We're all unique individuals. No one else has been given the exact same makeup as God has given you. Your face, your fingerprints, your voice, your genetic makeup, they're matched by no one else. And likewise, God has handcrafted you to be the man or woman of God in this world that we live. And I pray for us that we would understand our uniqueness, that we would understand that we have a purpose to bring Him glory, and that we would embrace that and stop listening to the voices in our heads that tell us that we're broken, that we're no good, that we have nothing to offer, but start living as the children that God has created. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for the journey that you have us on. I'm grateful, Father, that you have created us, you have designed us.